Hello, welcome to the Max Show. Yes, 2 weeks running. Bloody hell. It's not bad, is it, eh? Good record now. We are here to talk the week in Mac, all the big stuff that's gone on. And before we start, I just want to say something. I started doing this 11 years ago this year, and I did it because it was a load of fun, and I've met some amazing people, and I have some of those people I would describe as extremely good mates, even though I've never physically laid eyes on them in my life. And this week, two lads set about my son, and they stole his AirPods. And I saw the worst of humanity. And I made a comment in the Slack room, and it was instigated by Martin, the chairman of the London Mac User Group, and kind of taken up by James Rickard. I'm trying hard not to blub. The fellas in the Slack room had a whip round, and they bought Ellis a new pair of AirPods.
That's awesome.
And I don't know what to say. I just don't know what to say. I just, you know, it's a freaking horrible week for him. And the actions of those people have just made it completely different. And I didn't start doing this for that, but the collection of people that are around BTN, I prize most highly. I can't say thank you enough to those people. It's just astounding. Absolutely jaw-dropping, word-taking and astounding. So thanks, fellas. I'm lost. There you go. We're done. Patrice! I'm going to get off of mic before I start crying again. Patrice, how the devil are you, buddy?
Doing okay. Like a little bit of like health issues and some other like work-related stuff that's going on right now.
Anything you want to talk about, or are you just
personal? I mean, no, it's fine. Like my project here, they let me go. Like I'm still with the company, but they just didn't want me anymore. So I guess like a bit story behind it. So I'm like actively exploring some options here in the US before I have to go back to Germany. So we'll see.
Have you got a green card for while you're there, so you can still?
No, my visa is tied to my company, so. Is that I will have to go back otherwise, which would suck, but we'll see.
Oh, okay, mate. Sorry to hear that.
No.
Well, at least you're with your friends now. That's the main thing.
True, yes.
Relax and have some time away from having to think about what to do. Next to him, it's Jeff.
How are you doing?
I'm all right, mate. I'm okay. It's been a weird week, but I'm okay.
That's awesome.
What have you been up to?
Babysitting chickens.
Really?
Yeah,
as one does.
Not expecting that.
Yeah, that would have been probably about 2,000th on the list of guesses. But go on, tell us more.
Well, you know, when friends go out of town and they have chickens, someone still has to take care of the chickens. So, since I'm in town, I took on the job. And the chickens, they think that I'm just the best ever. And they even let me pet them, which they don't let most people do. And I get to keep all the eggs. So, of course, I tell them thank you every morning when I let them out of their chicken coop. And I take the eggs and then have them for breakfast.
Oh, that's cool, mate. Still warm.
Yeah. The only way they could get any fresher is if I brought the chickens into my kitchen. And I think they would be a little uncomfortable with that because they might think that they're actually on the menu.
Yeah, I don't think they lay onto they don't lay onto frying pans, mate. I think there's a...
No.
Yeah.
There's a murder process for that.
Anything. Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's fine. Well, mate, that's fantastic. Brilliant.
Yeah.
And then at the bottom, we've got Brett. How are you doing, mate?
I am swell. I have, in fact, babysat chickens. My next door neighbor has 21 chickens that I'm often responsible for cooping. So I get that. It's not as weird as it sounds.
Cooping's a word I hadn't realized, yes.
No, I made that up. No, I don't know what you call it when you get them to roost.
Well, I can't think of a better word.
All cooped up.
Yeah, no, cool. Roost, I guess. Yeah, okay, roosting. And you've shaved your beard off.
I did. I got bored. 6 months experiment is over now.
So is it going to come back for the winter, or is it gone?
I think so. Like, I liked having it on and off, so I'm probably going to have it on and off. It takes a few months to get it to look like a beard and not like I'm just lazy, but...
Oh, well.
Yeah.
The week in Apple. What's gone on? What's been happening? First story is that iTunes is going to be retired.
About damn time.
Well, it's just like, it's one of those stories. It's like, yeah, it's always been shit. But there is a bit of it that's making me think, well, it's hardly like it's identical to what it was. It's gone through so many Frankensteinian changes that it's not 18 years old by any stretch of the imagination. So.
No, probably far from it. I mean, if you think about it, it was originally a music player, and now, I mean, then it was like the whole iPhone, iPod syncing thing with apps, app stores and everything. It basically was everything for all iOS devices at some point. It was the tool. Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's just time. Like, Apple has been slowly adding other apps, basically, for it. Like, there's still functionality that's missing, like the music app that we know it's coming. I think Apple already talked point. Yeah. There'll be a music app on a Mac. But I think it's time. Like, it's simply, it's not needed anymore. Let's put it this way. Or not as.
Well, the suggestions are that there's going to be a standalone music app, which, this is done in iOS at the moment anyway. So standalone music, standalone TV, standalone podcast. Mm-hmm. So that's already happening at the iOS level, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
No one's got anything to say. Yeah,
we don't know what to say about it.
Yeah,
no, it has been happening. I mean, it was a slow death over time, and people, like, especially us, we knew it was coming. We knew it would be happening. So it was just a matter of time, and I think now is finally the time. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be around for the next couple of years. Like, you will still be able to install it. You will still be able to use it if you want to. There will be functions that's missing. Like, I think we can almost guarantee that.
Yeah.
That will not have all the features, because iTunes had a lot of the, like, features, like all the detailed views and everything. So, yeah, it's going to be a while still, but I think it's time.
Here's a view of what it looked like on launch 2001. Holy crap.
I really liked iTunes back when it was SoundJam.
Yeah, no. That looks a lot more functional than what it is at the moment.
Yep. Holy crap, that is also very old. Metal design.
Are we getting a TV app? You've already got one, Muller. So I don't know. Not
Apple already announced that. That's happening. They said they're bringing the TV app to the Mac. So.
Yeah, I find the TV app to work really well on iOS, but it's glitchy on the Apple TV. When you go into it,
yes,
and you say, all right, I want to carry on watching that, and it's got all your stuff queued up from all of the apps. Actually, when you press play, it then goes into a brain fart, and it's just like, oh, no, hang on, I was only joking. I wasn't actually
going to do it. I feel like certain apps, I want to say Hulu, certain apps kind of fumble with the deep links. I don't know this for sure, but I've noticed that when I try to play shows from the TV app in certain apps, a lot of times it feels like it just misses. Like, it loads up Hulu, for example, and then tries to open the show and hits an error or just sits and spins. Yeah. And I think that's on the app, like the individual apps, more than it is on the TV app.
I've had that too. I think Fox, for example, they like the Fox app, they will tell you a new show is available, and you click on it and it's not available, not even in their app. So there's definitely something going on there where it doesn't work properly.
Yeah.
Has Apple got a bit of an... Because it's always had that kind of... You know, the iTunes ecosystem has always had its criticisms and it's always had its flaws. And they always seem to be more than just teething troubles. And Apple's never really fit. I mean, you look at the front row system. I mean, that was, they hung on to that for Christ knows how long.
I totally forgot about that.
16 years.
Yeah. Well, yeah, thanks for opening that wound.
Well, yeah, so let's have something that lists the 600 movies that you've got on your server in alphabetical order, and there's no wraparound. So you've got to go all the way down to W, X, Y, Z, and then if you want the film that starts A, you can't go on and go round back to A. It just, you've got to go all the way back through your 600 films. And that was a horror show, but they stuck with it like you wouldn't believe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
yeah, and that morphed into the first Apple TV, I think.
It's never really been fixed. Ever. Who's in charge of iTunes? We should get to send them a bunch of black lilies or something. good riddance, you bastard.
Man,
Never mind. So your new music app, when you get it, what do you want to do? You want to listen to it on some nice earphones. So Powerbeats are now available in the UK, France, and Germany. They look okay. I like the advertising that's going along with these. They look really nice. But my question was, are the Beats line kind of muddy in the waters with the AirPods kind of thing, or is there a distinctly separate market here that Apple's clearly carving out, and I'm just being a bit silly to think, well, why are you making two different brands of wireless earphone?
I think there is still a separate market. Go ahead, Jeff.
Okay, so you have the market that is either moving from earpods and wants a wireless option, or you have people that like the aesthetic of AirPods, and then you have people that prefer Beats and that style of earphone or earpod, where you get the really heavy bass and that, to me, that's a different market. So there's a large group of people that would never get AirPods because they don't feel like they get heavy enough bass. Mm-hmm. And those are people that think Beats are awesome. And I don't get it because I don't think Beats sound good. I think it's just way too muddy.
I agree.
I know it's a personal preference, and a lot of people really like that. And then there's also the people that don't want an Apple logo on something they buy, and so they prefer Beats for that reason. And you can see the same thing. Like, okay, Starbucks is a perfect example. Starbucks owns several other coffee chains, where they didn't change the name. So you're still going and buying product from Starbucks, but you feel like you're sticking it to the man, so to speak, because you aren't buying something with a Starbucks logo.
Like Chipotle is actually McDonald's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I'm not sure I agree with you on the Beats, on the like bass heaviness, especially those new Power Beats. From all the reviews I've seen, are actually pretty well balanced. These here that I have are also pretty well balanced. So I think that is like, that has changed. But I definitely think I agree with you on the, like, some people simply want something else. Like they don't, like, they're not in the Apple ecosystem, or they don't care about Apple. And Beats has a pretty good standing, especially with a lot of artists and a lot of people. So, and then, I mean, especially with the Power Beats right now, I think there's also a market for the people who want to use it for exercise, like where maybe the AirPods don't fit 100% as well as Apple says they do, especially if you're exercising and sweating. And the Power Beats simply give you that little bit more of security that they're not going to fall out if you, like, whatever you do, go for a marathon run or whatever.
I can't believe people can jog with AirPods. Mine would never stay in if I didn't put caps on them.
Totally. Mine wouldn't as well. Totally agree.
Mine would. Like, I've done it a million times. Like, it just depends on your ear.
Yeah, but that's it.
You have the ear that Apple designed for.
But that's down to your peener shape, isn't it? So the shape of your peener.
Uh-huh. Are we?
Oh, I'm going to hold my AirPod up to mine, and oh, awkward! I just put my AirPod against the wrong part of my body. Really? I clearly misunderstood what you said. Oh, right.
No, I just how do the Beats wireless ones like this? How do they charge? Do you put them in a case, or you got to plug them in? Because that's another thing is what's the battery life on them? Because that's the beauty of the AirPods. You just slam them back in, or you can put one in and out while it's the other's charging and stuff, and it's really cool.
As far as I know, they have a charging case just like the AirPods.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so no difference. And the battery life is actually better than the AirPods apparently, because they're slightly bigger, so you can put a bigger battery in it.
Right, okay. Cool.
As someone with two different size ear canals, I agree with D-Pan in the chat room that I would pay for high quality over-the-ear headphones from Apple.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. That would be kind of cool.
Have you tried the Surface ones, the Microsoft Surface ones? They've got rave reviews, mate. And they're collapsible, and they're over-the-ear. The people that I've spoken to who've tried them, or who bought them, say that they're brilliant.
Nice.
So.
I just looked up the specs on the Powerbeats Pro, and they do come with a charging case, and it's USB-A to Lightning charging, just like the AirPods case.
Okay, that's new. They used to have... what is it? Micro USB, mini USB, one of the super USB ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I just it's what it is. I just thought it was a bit different, but it's not. Now this is the exciting news, mate. This is the thing that everyone's going to go wow, because Apple has released an update to the iPod Touch.
After how many years?
Seventh generation. Actually, no, because we did a thing the other week where we looked at the upgrade cycles. Uh-huh. And actually the most recently upgraded thing was the iPod.
What's the price point on the new one?
I haven't got that far reading that. I just know that they've got a new one and I just stopped laughing.
as far as I know, it's the same price, but you get basically more storage. So you get.
I don't remember what the price was on those things.
Who cares? $249 or something.
Huh.
I think it was $249.
I'm scrubbing. $199, $32, $199, $128, $299, and $256 is $399. That's quite a hefty price.
It is. At that point, you could just get an iPhone.
Yeah, exactly, and then. Yeah. You'd be comfortable.
Almost, anyway.
Yeah, but I mean...
It's got the A10 chip.
I think we've discussed it. Like, the iPod Touch has a market. Whether it's kids or whether it's businesses that use it as, like, input devices. Or, like, I don't know, the waiter in your restaurant, for example. They don't use tablets. They usually... I've seen a lot of, actually, iPod Touches.
Right.
Yeah. I'm wondering if the iPod Touch upgrade is Apple telegraphing to us that the A8 processor won't be supported with the new version of iOS.
Oh, so they've got no choice but to update them. Because this does look a little bit like it's a 10R carcass. The camera looks extremely familiar.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't it?
Probably, yes.
Or chassis rather, not carcass. But.
Yeah. I mean, that has always been the case. Like, the iPod Touch was, like, it had a slightly different case design, but it was more or less, like, an iPhone without the phone part.
Yeah.
What about an iPod Shuffle? When do we get that updated?
You know, I miss the Nano and the Shuffle.
I never had either, but... I could see a place. Of course, now that your watch can carry your music, I don't know if I would bother. But
Well, in that sense, the Apple Watch replaces the iPod Nano.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the form factor.
But not at a very different price point.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I come back to Brett's point there about, you know, $399, you're up to getting a low-end iPhone at not much more than that. And you're getting 256 gigs storage, which is a lot. It is a lot. But NAND flash storage it should be a lot lighter and a lot cheaper than that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can see a couple other markets for this.
It does.
You have people that work in environments where they want to have their iOS device with them, but they're not allowed to have iPhones in the facility. So you bring an iPod Touch with you. And I know several people that, as weird as it sounds, they use Samsung phones, but they love being in the iOS ecosystem, so they carry a Samsung phone and an iPod Touch.
Hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that market existed.
Neither did I, excuse me, till I started running into people that are doing that.
Huh.
So here's an interesting thing, fellas. I've just zoomed in on the picture, and to me, that looks like a headphone jack.
Oh, it does have a headphone jack.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I think they haven't ditched the headphone on this either.
No,
I think they did the minimal job they could. It was like literally, what's the crappiest minimal job that we can do to...
Well, no, because I'm sitting thinking, if I said what was earlier on was about it looks like a 10R case, it can't be because they've had to work in a jack. Okay. And I'm just sitting thinking, does this clearly indicate the market that they're going for? Because you're going to give this thing to kids, and you're not going to give kids AirPods and stuff that can get stolen in the street. So they're going to have plug-in cheapy headsets.
Or you could do that, just include like one of those new earpods that have the lightning port. We use the lightning port. Fine.
Yeah.
Well, and like the article you zoomed in on says, and Bob Beach in the chat room says, it's perfect for kids who don't need a full phone, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Full iOS access to all the apps, all the games, camera.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the article says you're not going to want to put your iPod Touch unless you have a specific case for it, such as listening to music with wired headphones at the gym or something like that. Most people aren't going to have a use for an iPod Touch over an iPhone, which is likely why it receives only a modest processor update. But as you said, Jeff, it does make sense that if they're going to ditch the A8, they've got to go up to the A10 on this. If they must be selling them. That's the key, is they must be selling enough of these things to keep it going. Otherwise, Apple would be brutal about it. They wouldn't have a kind of emotional sale thing going on with it.
Oh, no, there's no nostalgia here. This is about money.
Do you think they were selling enough minis to do the intense Mac mini refresh they did? I feel like sometimes they rejuvenate a product knowing that it could sell without having sales to base that on.
Right.
Yeah, I think they sometimes base it on, like, customer base and customer reaction. Like, I don't think like, you saw the reactions when the Mac Mini wasn't updated, and when the Mac Pro wasn't, still isn't updated to this day. Like, the pro prosumer or pro market. Like, they're very, very vocal, and I think Apple sometimes, even if it doesn't have the big numbers, Apple, like, listens to that market more than, I think, for an iPod Touch, they would simply say, well, it's not selling. Nobody's going to, like, honestly, nobody really cares too much about it.
Jeff's saying it's you can say this on the show, right, Jeff?
wait, what?
Yeah, you're a guest. You're a guest, yeah. I find it weird that some jobs ban iPhones but allow iPod Touches. Muller's saying, well, surely this is as good as a phone because in the city there's Wi-Fi everywhere, so there's going to be audio FaceTime and video FaceTime available to people with it. That's a good point.
Sure, and if you use Google Voice, you can put that on your iPod Touch, and now your iPod Touch is a Wi-Fi phone.
Yeah. Deep Pan says 256 iPod Touch or 64 gig iPad Mini, because both of those are $399. So that's an interesting question on overlap and how big it is for carrying around. and the downsizing the storage. Magic Man's put social media as the issue, though, but I don't understand what that's in relation to. And Muller said, why don't you stick one on the back of your phone with elastic bands, and then you've got a two-screen phone?
You know, if you use a piece of duct tape, now you have a foldable phone. Take
there
that.
You go. Oh, man. Fold them face-to-face, smack. There we go. Perfectly safe. Mate, Apple, Muller, you should be in R&D at Apple. strong sales figures from Apple on wearables. 12.8 million shipments of wearables in Q1. Let's be clear then. Wearables, we're talking phone and AirPods, or is it just phone? Not phone.
Watch.
Watch and AirPods, or is it just watch?
Well, given AirPods don't have a processor, I would assume just watch.
Right. So that's
what I'm assuming.
Yeah, the article saying this includes Apple Watch, AirPods, and Beats headphones as well. Some Beats headphones.
Oh, okay, interesting.
So that kind of makes that the spin on that is kind of a bit disingenuous, then, isn't it?
Well, we really don't know what that means. Like, is it like a lot of AirPods and not many watches and Beats, or is it like an equal mix of everything?
But I think the way that the article's spinning it there is it's making it sound a little bit like, oh, the watch is a real success. When I got to say, I still struggle with the watch. There is nothing in me that wants to still get a watch. And there's a few people I know who had watches who've gone, no, I'm not going to upgrade. I'm not going to update. I'm just going to go back to my old watch, or I'm going to back to no watch.
I haven't updated, but my Series 2 died. It got wet. And so I thought, I'm just going to wait on getting a new watch. And I really missed it.
Oh, really?
I didn't realize how much I was using it, mostly for setting timers, talking to Siri, getting news updates, checking the weather. Basically, I'm looking at it at least a couple times an hour, and rarely just to check the time. Although I also got really used to checking the time on it too. I missed it.
Watch for checking the time. How innovative.
I know.
Wow. Yeah, I'm the same. Like, go ahead.
I bought the original Apple Watch when it came out because I was really obligated to, because I had to do a review. And my plan was that I would do my product review. And then if I was still in the 14-day window, I was just going to take it back. If I was out of the 14-day window, then I would just sell it. And I ended up keeping it. And now I'm on, what are we on now? Version 4? Series 4?
Yeah.
So that I'm using a Series 4 now. But the only reason I upgraded from the 3 to the 4 was for the ECG feature. Otherwise, I would have stuck with my Series 3. So when Series 5 comes out, unless there's some very compelling feature for me, then I'll stick with the Series 4. But I'm a guy that didn't like wearing watches. And
Me either.
Yeah, and yet I put mine on every morning. And I wear it all day long. And I'm tracking my steps. And I'm checking my heart. And it is my notification triage system. Mm-hmm. And I talk to Siri. And I look at my weather reports. And you know, there's just all these things that I do with Apple Watch that it didn't occur to me would become really important to me.
I actually use mine as a sleep tracker.
Oh.
There's an app called Auto Sleep that will watch your heart rate and motion and figure out when you've actually fallen asleep, and then give you a report in the morning about how much sleep you got, how much was deep sleep, how rested you should feel. Like you get like a score of the quality of your rest. And I use that daily. I use that information and I use it to change my habits. And it's actually a really handy tool because I don't have to tell it. I don't have to do anything but wear the watch to get the benefit of that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I use it for texting quite a bit as well. Like when I'm out on a walk or I'm in the grocery store and I have my grocery app up and I have a question for the girlfriend, like what
can
I actually buy? I'll just text her and I can just use the Apple Watch. I don't have to take out my phone and text her. I can literally just talk to the Apple Watch and it does it.
I thought the Series 1 was an aspirational product. I thought, I can see what they want to do here, but this is barely usable. Now that I have the Series 3, I consider it a very valid product.
Yeah, Bob Beach has said, I still really like my Apple Watch. It's a Series 0, but it still is good. I have no reason to upgrade. It does all that I want. Magic Man says, blimey, next you'll be using an iPhone to make a phone call. Muller's saying he's on the 2 and it's still doing what he wants. Mark says, got a Series 2. Mainly put it on if I go out for a day or go in running. It doesn't support knack on your masturbation. Oh, what? I can't. Muller. Jesus.
Oh my God.
Bob says, it's amazing. I know when I wake up whether I've slept well or not.
Wow, that is crazy.
Magic Man says his Series 3 is more indispensable than his iPad. Praise indeed. I had the Zero and I hadn't worn a watch for like 10 years ever. I mean, literally not put a watch on my wrist at all for 10 years. A lot of my watches got batteries that had run down and I hadn't replaced them. And what the Apple Watch did for me was it got me back into wanting to wear a watch. So when I just like, I've had enough of this and I had a week without it and I didn't miss it. So I gave it to Ellis and he was like, oh, wow, great. And he had it for a week and he didn't use it. And I went straight back into wearing proper watches and I haven't worn a watch. So the Apple Watch has given me back the proper watch.
It's just a gateway drug.
It was. Got me back into watches. And I actually do look at my watch now to tell the time. Amazing. I think the other thing that's killed me is the fact I spend a lot of time at home or in the studio. So I tend, if I'm setting a timer, I tend to use my Echo rather than using
I use my Echo a lot for timers, but I do appreciate being able to just look at my wrist and see how much time is left on a timer without having to ask.
No, that's good. Apple Express Pay Transit is coming to London Underground. So 12.3 enabled Apple Pay Express Transit as a feature. So this is a thing where you can go up and you can tap and go through gates and that kind of stuff without having to open your iPhone, without having to, it's just a preordained thing that it's allowed to go through there. London Underground is proud that they're working with Apple to make it happen at all their barriers. You can already use Apple Pay at London Underground, but you can't use the Transit Express. Does anyone know anywhere where the Transit Express is? Because it's only been out a month, so I can't believe that anywhere's actually up to using it yet. Anyway.
Wasn't it New York and Chicago?
Well, they took it immediately.
Yeah, that was, I think, the initial launch cities, but that was about it. But I haven't heard anything about it. Nowhere. Like, is anybody even using it?
Yeah, no. I've not. That's the first real story I've seen about it. I knew it had come in 12.3, but I didn't really clock.
So I need some clarification on this because mass transit, that's actually good, is not a thing that I get to experience. So does this mean that the next time I'm in London, instead of loading up that card that I then set on the scanner when I go through to the tube, I just wave my iPhone and I'm done?
Well, when you were here last time, you still could have done that.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Your bank would have just caned you on the exchange rate. That's the only thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But you still could have done Apple Pay going through the tube when you were here last time. That wasn't an issue. So this
I did that.
Well, they didn't tell me that.
Well, this is a different mode where you pre-authorize the payment. So when you get to London Underground tabs, you don't have to open your iPhone out. You just get it out and dab it and go. It doesn't. There's no confirmation requirement.
That's really cool.
No passcode, no touch ID, and no face ID. and it'll only work with iPhone SE, iPhone 6S, 6S Plus, or later. Apple Watch Series 1 and 2 or later, so not 0. Oh, so owners of iPhone XS, XS Max, and XR can also use Express Transit in power reserve mode, which is available for up to 5 hours when the iPhone cannot work and needs to be charged. So it's still got like a micro current that will allow it to work, so you're not going to get stranded.
That's using the NFC chip.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Zero is not supported.
Yeah, next time you link, then it lets you. It just pays. Another use of the watch is replacing an Oyster card. I haven't used an Oyster card in I can't remember how long. I had one that had an auto top up at £20, and I've never used it again. It's got 20 quid of my money on it that I've never used. So every time I go into London Underground now, I just use debit card or I use Apple Pay on my phone.
Yeah.
WWDC is on Monday. Anyone around for a show?
Definitely not.
Well, why
won't do a live show from the venue? But
so you've kept your WWDC seat then, Patrice?
Yes. Yeah. Well, actually, the company is. I'm still an employee technically, so the company is paying for it.
Oh, cool. That's all right.
I'm going to be there next week.
That's good of them. That's all right.
Patrice, I'm sorry, I won't get to see you next week. I'll be at a different conference.
Oh, so you're not here?
Too bad.
Right. So, who
scheduled a conference during WWDC, Jeff?
That's
Asus. Yeah,
exactly.
They scheduled it like a year ago. My assumption is either they thought that they were going to be off from WWDC by a week, or it was the only week they could get the venue that they needed.
It's probably the latter, because it's exactly the same week it was last.
Anyone gleaned any information about what's coming at WWDC to add on to our complete lack of knowledge last week?
Well, I think it's safe we'll hear something about hardware, and I'm speculating that Apple's going to give us an update on the Mac Pro. And the reason I'm saying this isn't just because...
Oh, the Mac Pro, I've forgotten about that.
It's about time, but... Because Apple released the update for the MacBook Pro already. So they could have very easily shown off the new laptop at WWDC, but they needed to get that out of the way to make room for whatever they want to talk about. So I'm guessing we're getting an update, but we're not actually getting the Mac Pro. I still think it's not going to ship until... like maybe the first quarter of 2020. I don't think it's coming this year.
Yeah, I think it will be the fall, but that it's just pure guesswork. I mean, you're right. The WWDC crowd is like the crowd for the Mac Pro. I mean, that's when they originally introduced it, like the trash can design. I know Apple doesn't like that name, but it really does look like one.
There you go.
Yeah, they introduced that at WWDC. So it's definitely their crowd for this type of device. We'll see.
We're going to hear about Marzipan.
Yes.
I think a lot about AR.
About Marzipan. Yeah.
Yeah, there's going to be
They will talk about privacy. They will talk about Marzipan or like whatever it's called. They never announced that name. Like they didn't even name it last year when they announced that whole program.
Right.
So whatever it's called, they will definitely talk about that.
To tie this into the first story, I think Marzipan is the reason we're finally getting iTunes split into multiple apps.
Sure.
I think they're taking the iOS apps and Marzipanifying them for the Mac.
Which I don't necessarily consider a great thing, but I'm old. I'm an old developer.
There's an old developer's die joke going to happen in a minute. Someone will think of it in the chat room. Is Phil going to say, innovate my arse again? There's Magic Man. Okay.
Don't think so.
Surely they must mention the Mac Pro, said Bob Beach. And yeah, the the Mac Pro is, I'd forgotten about the fact that there's been an enormously long cycle time for it, and we've been promised something that's going to come. I might be in the minority for this, but I really love the Trashcan Mac setup. I love the way it looks. I love the way it's transportable. I've got a handle on it. I pick it up. I put it in my bag. I'm off. If we go back to a cheese grater-esque type thing that's immobile, you know, I think the Trashcan design made the Mac Pro a mobile computing system. I can take it with me to customers, which I've never been able to do, and I love it. I absolutely adore my Mac Pro.
Oh, those old ones had the case that was basically two handles. You could go to LAN parties with that.
Yeah, I'm not going on the underground with that.
It's heavy, Jesus. Though.
Yeah. All right. No, I have another crazy idea to go along with the Mac Pro.
Oh, go on then, mate.
Look how long it's been since they said, okay, we're redesigning the Mac Pro. I mean, this is a multi-year process. And if you look at companies like HP, that they don't make pretty computers, but they make really good hardware, and they can crank out new innovative hardware configurations every year. Why is it taking Apple so long? I'm wondering if it's taking so long because this isn't going to be an Intel processor computer. This is going to be
Motorola. An
ARM processor computer.
Motorola. Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. I could also see it simply being Apple's not just trying to put out yet another Mac Pro. They're trying to innovate on that level. And I mean, they already said that they're working on a I think modular design. That's what they called it. So whatever that means, that is a big question. And I think that's where they're trying to innovate. They're trying to create something that is modular, but still serves the million different needs that I mean, probably fairly small market segment or the Mac Pro has.
So you buy a box and then you buy another box that clips on the side and does something different.
For example, yeah. Or it could be a stack of little boxes or something like that.
Right. Odds on, give me your odds on Mac Pro being mentioned next week.
I want to say 70%.
Oh.
I'm giving it 80%.
All right. Brett, any more or less confident than these two?
I'd put a 5-point spread on that.
Mate, no one here knows what you mean.
I don't even know what that means.
But it sounds great.
Yeah. Tim's going to win 3-0 in AR mode against Phil Schiller. necking pancakes. That's something like that anyway. Going to WWDC, Patrice, are you going to dial in for us and give us a lowdown next week?
Yes, I will try to find corner somewhere.
That'd be awesome. Are you going to queue up to actually get in the keynote?
Yes, of course. I think almost everybody gets in, at least last time when I was there. You have to be there early if you want somewhat good seats, but yeah, I will definitely be there.
Excellent, mate. That'd be cool. That'd be really cool. Send us an exclusive picture and we'll
I will.
During the keynote. That'd be kind of cool. I think we'll do a show. We just need to make sure we've got enough people here and it's not just me on my own. Right. This podcast and all of the others is sponsored by TSO Host. They are people that keep us well into our bandwidth. They give us everything that we need and they're just brilliant. If you would like to support them, then you're going to go, right, okay, you know, I just want to buy loads of stuff, but, you know, thanks, Ewan. No, you don't have to buy anything. It's not a problem. What they want from us is brand recognition. They want you guys to go on social media and say, thanks at TSO Host for supporting At British Tech. That is it. Please mobilize yourself to doing that. Get yourself on social media and just shout from the rooftops about how great TSO Host is. They are absolutely superb. We would be lost without them. And I can't thank him enough. And also, please check out Wirecast at Telestream. Now, Telestream do loads of software. They do this fantastic screen capture program that is just like what am I trying to say? It's just like Final Cut, you know, it's brilliant screen flow. And they also do Wirecast, which is stuff that lets us do all of the green screen stuff here and drop everything out. But they've got a new monthly plan now as well for Wirecast. So if you go on there, you can play monthly, which makes it far more affordable as a piece of software rather than having to shell out an enormous sum right at the start of it. Brilliant. And lastly, thanks to Hoya, I still can't talk about the thing that I know about. So it's not this week, but there is a thing. Hoya has got a tie-up with a firm for some new cool products, and they do look cool. They look really, really nice. So watch this space. We will announce when we can. But until then, get yourself your Unikus, because my glasses are Unikus, these ones, made for me and me only, bespoke eyewear. It's a fantastic process to go through, and it is just brilliant. Make sure you you check out at Hoya. And again, thanks at Hoya for supporting that. British Tech would be great on social media. Right then, fellas, it's time for the cool thing. So start us off, Patrice.
All right. My cool thing today is a iOS app. It's called Calm. It's one of those apps, if you need like white noise, you need like any kind of background noise to meditate, to sleep, to whatever you want to do, that app is awesome. It is not free. There is a premium subscription. I don't know what the free app actually gives you, because I subscribed for it, to it right away. But we're using, like, in the bedroom, we're using the white noise generator because, like, my girlfriend has a little issues with, like, sleeping if there's no, like, noise. It is, like, it is well-designed. It works really well. The premium subscription was, like, I want to say $70 a year, which is a bit steep, but if you're using it really daily, I think it's still worth it. I did subscribe to it. And they have a pretty good and high quality selection of audio sounds. Like they have rainforests and like different, like either natural soundscapes, like I said, rainforests, rains, rivers, stuff like that, or like artificial things like, I said, just pure white noise or pink noise or what they, there was one that they call, I think the universe or something, that is pretty cool. So yeah, definitely highly recommended. The app is called Calm, and it's at calm.com.
Excellent.
T-A-L-M. You know, that subscription, $70 a year, when you think about it, that's actually not that much. That's not even one Starbucks drink a month.
Exactly. And as I said, if you use it every day, every night, then it's definitely more than worth it.
What the f*** drinks are you buying?
So editing at 47 minutes. Thanks, Brett.
I'm sorry.
There's a lot of people that go in and buy the Frappa whatever things, and I mean, you know, the you can end up.
I don't have a Starbucks nearby. I don't know how much drinks cost, but that seems like a lot.
Yeah, if you skip one Starbucks drink a month, and you're doing more than just like a straight up coffee or an iced tea or something like that, then you're spending more on that Starbucks once a month than you would over, it would cost you more than the subscription does.
I believe you. I use Calm as a free app, and it's a very limited selection, but it usually does the trick for me with just what they have. Like usually on the, when you go to a page of it, and there's like 20 different options, the first two will be accessible if you don't have premium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
That took way longer to explain than it should have done. Jeff, what's your cool thing, man?
My cool thing, it's actually a little bit of nostalgia. It's a 12-inch PowerBook G4.
I have one of those. It was given to me by Rick
and
McCorris.
And it still works.
Yeah, mine does too.
Wow.
The short story behind this, a friend passed away unexpectedly a few weeks ago and listed me as the person that she wanted to make sure that all of her accounts, like online accounts, got shut down, all of her personal data was wiped off all of her computers, and then to recycle all of her old equipment for her. And in the back of a closet, we found this stack of old laptops, like, you know, like a like three or four old PC laptops, and in the mix was this guy.
Beautiful machine.
Yeah, I remember when I had mine, and it was the first computer that Apple made that I felt was worth replacing my Pismo G3 laptop. Yeah. And I used one of these for years. I mean, look at that. It even has a modem port built in.
Wow.
Yeah. And that CD DVD drive built in
old display.
You can swap out batteries and replace the RAM. It has a little cover on the bottom for the RAM.
That's awesome. Do you remember my old, I'm going back 5+ years. More than that, it's probably about 8 years. When I had, I used to have a TV behind me and you were all on the mm-hmm. TV. It was at an angle.
Oh, right.
Yeah. That TV was just a green screen with everyone superimposed on it behind through the green. And that green was actually provided by Rick McCorriston's 12-inch, because I had the 12-inch and I gave it away, I think, or sold it. And I regretted to this day that I hadn't got one. So he said, I've got one you can have. So he gave me the old 12-inch. I said, right, it's going to run the green screen. And he was chuffed because it was taking part in BTN. So.
Yeah, this is a great little workhorse. Yeah. I don't know how many years this sat unplugged in the back of a closet, but a lot of years. And when I plugged in the charger, the crazy computer booted up.
Yeah.
Mine still works. Totally works.
Yeah. Good stuff. Great computer, but not as good as the G3 Pismo, says Magic Man. That was the dog's bollocks.
The Pismo. Oh, man. I loved that computer.
Bob's complaining it's a quick show. He's feeling a bit shortchanged. We've done 50 minutes, mate. Pretty on. Brett, do you have a cool thing?
I made my own this week.
You made a cool thing.
Nice.
I had a very productive week a couple weeks ago, and I found myself needing to solve a problem. And so I wrote an app to do it, and then I published it, and it turned out to actually be really popular. It's called Bunch. I'll stick a link in here. But it sits in your dock and it has no windows. It only has a dock menu. So when you right click on it, it's configured with text files and it shows you a list of bunches of apps that you can launch as groups or quit as groups. And it's developed a lot of extra features and a URL handler so you can script it and everything now. I don't know. People seem to find it handy, so I'm putting it out there.
So it's
and not charging any money for it, but feel free to PayPal me.
It sits on your dock, doesn't have any windows, and when you right click it, it gives you a list of bunches that you can utilize.
Yeah.
And so it's a grouping. You launch a group of apps that all
right synergistic, and you can use it in single bunch mode. So when you launch a bunch, it quits apps from it, the last running bunch. So you can use it as like a context switcher when you're ready to edit video or you're ready to blog or whatever. For me, like if I'm working on NV Ultra, which is our upcoming app that I will actually make money on, if I launch the NV Ultra bunch, it opens up Xcode with the right project. It opens up Sublime Text with the documentation that I'm working on. It opens up Finder with and terminal to the right directories, and then when I'm done, I just uncheck it and all of those apps quit.
Nice.
So do they go to a full quit or do they just go into the deep sleep kind of thing?
It's all configurable, but I do like a full quit, except for I use a percent symbol in the text file, which tells it to ignore iTerm and Finder, so it's not trying to quit apps that I want open anyway.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of little syntax stuff you can put into the text files to say, quit this app or hide all its windows or hide the dock when I launch this bunch.
Cool. Excellent.
It's nifty.
Go download it. BrettTerpstra.com/podcast/brunch. Bunch. Not brunch. Jesus.
Brunch is a totally different app.
I'm not saying I'm hungry or anything, but... So if you want to know any of the links that we've talked about here, any of the cool things, everyone puts them in their in the chat room. And we've got a chat bot in there that gathers them all together and puts them out on the website. So britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then if you go to the date, which is the 31st of May, click on that and scroll through. You can read everything that everyone typed during the show, and you can see all the links. So there you go. Plain and simple.
And good. Never click on Wallace link.
Yeah, no, and you can look at, yeah, don't, let's not go there. where can we get a hold of you, Patrice?
As always, every week here on the Mac Show, next week at WWC in San Jose, and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. Have a great week at San Jose. It'll be good. It'll be real good.
It will be awesome.
Jeff, where are you, mate?
I am over at textexpander.com and smilesoftware.com, and on Twitter and Instagram, I'm Jay Gamut. And it occurred to me, after having conversations with a few people, a lot of people don't realize that I'm doing a couple Text Expander how-to webinars every month, and they're free. So if people want to learn more about using Text Expander or even just how to get started, go to textexpander.com and sign up for a free webinar.
Cool. Excellent. Good idea. And Brett, where would you be, mate?
Hey, Jeff, I'm drinking my Turkish coffee out of a Text Expander mug today.
That is awesome.
You can't buy that kind of product placement, man.
I am at brettterpstra.com and ttscoff everywhere on the social medias.
Excellent. Superb. Manage Ewan Rankin, get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network on at British Tech as well as. We'll be back at 8 p.m. for the big show. Atlee Hunter is out on the road and he is dialing in. He's going to do a Bomber McAllister on us from years ago and dial in from his road trip, which should be interesting. So don't be writing emails to me about quality of sound because it's just a bit of fun, all right? We don't do this for a living. Stay calm. Have a great weekend and a great week, and we'll see you next Friday, hopefully for a show. And it should be good fun. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.